You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
To sum up the filing, I think they have Trump dead to rights. The Department of Justice in its filing yesterday basically said, first, Trump stole the documents. Second, he lied about stealing them. And third, he's now inventing excuses to cover his actions. That three parts that you mentioned before. And it's so damning because if this were a normal client and a normal set of lawyers, we would be talking about a plea agreement right now. And it's clear why Trump attacked the integrity of the FBI right away after the search warrant. It's because the FBI found the goods. The evidence is incredibly damning.
In other words, Trump is absolutely guilty. Those are the words of Neil Katyal, MSNBC legal analysis, an analyst. He's a lawyer. Did he just prejudge without looking at any of the evidence himself, just by what the DOJ has told him? Is that how he handles his clients? If police have a criminal charge against him, but whatever they tell him, say, well, they got him. He's my client, might as well plead guilty, roll over. This is September the 1st, 2022, the first day of this new month. And we continue to go over and over again the raid that took place by the FBI under the DOJ authorization and Attorney General Merrick Garland to go in and look for, well, we were told in the beginning he had some materials that he did not turn over to the National Archives and they wanted them back. And then we were told there are a lot of classified documents in there. The mayor may not be classified. Trump may or may not have declassified those documents in particular, or others, and we were also then, the word was leaked out that it might include some nuclear information. What else can we do to gin up attention about this thing going to the midterm? Because that's what this was, a political action, timed perfectly, going to the midterm. So there's a Neil Katyal, the MSNBC legal analyst, again, supposedly a lawyer, but he's already prejudging. Should he do that? I mean, does that sound like he's dealing with facts and legalities or politics? It's what we call in poker someone who's angle shooting. I act like I'm going to fold my cards and you throw your cards in the muck, thinking you've won the hand. I don't fold my cards. I just hold them. And because you threw your cards away, mine are good, even if you were beating me. That's angle shooting. That's partly why they don't allow guns inside casinos anymore. Partly. We're going to get into that in more detail. Also, we're going to be joined today by Gordon G. Chain, an expert on China. And here's why. He put out a tweet yesterday. Didn't have time, couldn't get him booked yesterday, but we're going to, coming up, the tweet, hug your loved ones and pray that China does not start a war. This would be an excellent time for the U.S. military to move to DEFCON 2. There are five ranks of DEFCON. That's Defense Coordination Defense. DEFCON 2, right under number one, which is the highest rank. Two says get ready for possible military action. One is you're already in it and a possible nuclear event underway. In Alaska, Sarah Palin loses in a battle to fill the seat of GOP Congressman Young, who passed away. She got defeated by the Democrat because Alaska, for the first time, was using what it passed back in 2020, ranked voting, which meant the voters had to register who they wanted for number one, second, and third. Dems are happy Republicans are upset and angry and say this is a sign of more collusion we're going to see, and we're going to look at that in more detail. 20 MLB teams giving money to groups that encourage or even do transgender surgery on children. Are you aware of that? 20 Major League Baseball teams. Maybe your favorite team is on that list. We'll have that story coming up for you. Plus, a professor arguing that you should be more tolerant of minor attracted persons, pedophiles, that they should be accepted as a sexual minority. Are you ready? Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Oh, give me boys and free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll and drift away.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We should lift up democracy and freedom and opportunity, because that is what we are fighting to continue to protect and deliver for everyday Americans, and point out that you have a Republican Party that has been radicalized by the former, twice impeached, out of control, so-called 45th president of the United States of America, where appropriate. And we are still dealing with the implications of that radicalization and that extremism in the modern day GOP that will be on the ballot in November of 2022.
I don't think you missed the points there at all, as spoken by Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat in New York, talking about what we need to do is make sure the people understand that we, the Democrats, have their back. Oh, I know towns are being shot up all over, in blue cities in particular, and blue states, but we got your back, and we need to make it clear that the so-called elected 45th president is radical and has radicalized many Americans. Hakeem Jeffries is replicating what we're going to see between now and midterms and all the way into 2024. They're trying to point out that, as yesterday the White House spokeswoman alluded to, all these MAGA people out there, they're terrorists. We have millions of terrorists in the nation. She's talking about conservatives. Some conservatives are Trump MAGA, Make America Great Again. Some are more like a Reagan, Make America Great, which was his slogan. And some just aren't of either party, maybe independent. They just want to see things improve. They want to see lower groceries, And gas prices inching down a couple of cents right before, wouldn't you know it, right before Labor Day holiday. But they know that the kick in the arse is yet to come. Various Federal Reserve officers are saying we got to really clamp down. I mean, maybe we're going to have to get stronger now, because based on the remarks the other day by Fed Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, at that economic summit and conference, the stock market began to rally and go start shooting up, and that was contrary to what they were hoping. They're trying to say, hey, you got to cool things a little bit. They're not cooling. But Americans are suffering and still will. So going into this election, I ask you simply, are you better off now than you were when Trump was in office? I saw a response to that by one on the left saying, yeah, we're better off now because they only have bodies stacked in refrigerated trucks. Reference those who died of COVID, and especially in areas that couldn't handle all the dead at one time, such as New York City and other blue cities. So tonight you've got Joe Biden. He's preparing to go to the city of brotherly love, perfect place, to deliver what he promises will be a speech to, quote, heal the soul of the nation. That's what he says he's going to do. That's the intent of the speech. It's going to take place 7 o'clock Central, 8 Eastern, near Independence Hall in Pennsylvania. The idea, of course, is to unite our nation, as he said he would do on Inauguration Day, but that went south pretty fast. And it continues. Let me give you, while he's preparing for this speech tonight, and I'm sure they've been working on it for a couple, 3 days at least, wouldn't you imagine? I guarantee you he's not going to be just speaking off the cuff. But what he did say last night in another engagement, he was mocking conservatives in general. He wants to put them all under the MAGA label. They may or may not be, quote, true Trump MAGA. But if you want to make America great again, does not mean necessarily you fully endorse Trump. Doesn't mean anything other than that. I want to make America great again. I want us to stand for something. I want to see other nations recognize that we're dealing with the U.S. of A. And we have to be careful. We can't just push and bully them around, which is what pretty much they're doing now. But again, in the speech last night, Biden just couldn't help himself to, while he's going to talk about brotherly love tonight, last night, on the attack. Let the dogs loose.
For those brave right-wing Americans who say it's all about keeping America's independent and safe, if you want to fight against the country, you need an F-15. You need something a little more than a gun. No, I'm not joking. Think about this. Think about the rationale we use that's used to provide this. And who are they shooting at? Shooting at these guys behind me.
He's talking about some of the audience behind him. Do you hear anything there that's uniting? I hear more divisive words. Maybe your perception is different. And you're entitled to that. And it was just yesterday, as I was saying, that White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, was asked to explain how Biden's claim that many Republicans, especially Trump supporters, were semi-fascist, because that's what he had alluded to previously. And how can you square those remarks with trying to unify the country? Jean-Pierre cited a list of examples of Republicans talking or joking about physical violence against their opponents. And I mean really joking. I mean, one of the things she said, just last week you had Florida Governor DeSantis suggesting that Dr. Fauci should be physically assaulted. You know what DeSantis said in a joking fashion? He said he called Fauci that little elf. Okay, that wasn't nice, but so be it. I call him Dr. Fake. But anyway, DeSantis was saying, I'd take that little elf and throw him across the Potomac River. Well, you know he couldn't do it. It's a joke. J-O-K-E. And then back in October 2016, same place where Biden spoke Tuesday, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, he told Hillary Clinton supporters, I'm being asked all the time, would I like to debate Donald Trump? He said, no, no, no. Don't ask me if I want to debate him. No, I wish we were in high school. I'd take him behind the gym. Now, what does that tell you? I want to fight him. I don't have a problem with the language to that extent. I don't. Have Republicans said worse? Yep. Has Trump said worse? Yes. Has Biden or other members of the Democrat Party said worse? Yes. I would agree that we need to have a chance to bring everybody together, but I don't have high expectations for what Biden's going to do tonight. I want to read you a piece from The Independent. That's a UK publication, and their Washington reporter, Andrew Naughty, writes a column inside Washington. Here's how he describes Biden tonight. Joe Biden is headed to Philadelphia tonight to deliver a speech on the battle for the soul of the nation. It's a catchphrase he's used repeatedly since his presidential campaign, when he invoked it as an appeal for Americans to re-embrace a spirit of decency and generosity in their leaders as opposed to rancor and cruelty. But the previews given by his team in advance of tonight's speech draw rather different times and lines. Now, he is the man in D.C. for the Independent, so I'm sure he's got sources. And here's what they're indicating to him, according to one. The premise of this address will be actually the rights and freedoms of the country are under attack. That Biden will make it clear who's fighting for the rights, fighting for those freedoms, fighting for our democracy. The key word in the title of his speech, it seems, is not so much as the soul, but the battle. Naughty points out that Biden's right-wing opponents have done pretty much the same since he won the 2020 election. So the president has had little chance or choice but to draw a clear line between himself and the anti-democratic and sometimes violent extremists that hold sway on the far, far, far right. And he adds that for the purpose of the midterm elections, a zero-sum game, unity and amity, it seems, will have to wait. So it's not really going to accomplish anything. It's just going to be a matter of ginning up and having the state-controlled media carry the water for him, suggesting that I'm doing everything I can to bring us together. It's those other guys. This is no joke, man. It's those other guys that are doing all this. Well, riddle me this then. And I'm going to try to break it down in some pretty simple little couple pieces here. Give me a really good, solid answer as to why, whether or not you believe that Trump has or had not taken materials that should have been given to the National Archives, whether or not he had confidential, top secret, classified documents that he took that he shouldn't have, and they were not declassified by him at that time. Riddle to me this, why time it right before the midterm elections? Was that meant to bring unity? Or was that meant to destroy anybody endorsed by Trump? He has had an excellent record of those he's endorsed. I think out of 160-plus that he's endorsed, maybe 15 of them lost. Now, granted, again, in some cases, Democrats might have switched parties in those primaries to go vote for a candidate they thought they could easily beat in the general election. But let's see how that plays out. And then the other thing is, why is it everything's going to still have to be about race, which is what it is at this point? Here's a perfect example. CNN, Don Lemon Fruitcake was talking about our U.S. Constitution and saying that, you know, you got all these white men that wrote the Constitution. Right there, it should tell you it's racist. And many were slave owners. He's right on both of those counts. There were no black men helping write the Constitution. And yes, many of our founders had slaves. I'll grant all of that. But at what point do you turn the corner on it? Well, let's listen to Don Lemon Fruitcake tell us really what the issue is here with whites and our Constitution.
There have never been carve-outs in our Constitution for white males. Why? Because they wrote it. Because the laws and the structure of the country are built around them, are built around white males. So he knows that he doesn't really have an argument. For people who have had, listen, I'm not saying that there aren't white people, especially and white men who don't have challenges, who aren't discriminated against. But for the most part, they're the least discriminated against people in this country.
That's all we need. They're the least discriminated, so we really don't care. I thought you cared about discrimination. Not really. So much for unification. North Korea coming up.
Larry Connors USA.
So we have a situation building we have to be worried about on several different fronts, obviously, right now. Russia, Ukraine, China, Taiwan, and North Korea is still in play, and of course China itself. We've got a guest coming up in the next segment that tweeted out yesterday almost an alarming message that you need to start praying that China does not act quickly, soon, on battle plans. I don't know if he's got something inside or if he's looking at other things. I do know this, that China shot down an unidentified drone over the island near China. They're firing live ammo, obviously, and they shoot down that drone over one of those island outposts that China has built in the sea. That happened within the last 15-plus hours. So I don't know if that's going to escalate and bring to the forefront what my guest is going to discuss in the next segment. But here's something that has also come to light, this information being released by the RAND Corporation and South Korea's Asian Institute for Policy Studies. North Korea apparently has something like 2,500 to 5,000 tons of chemical weapons. They include the extremely toxic nerve agents such as sarin. According to a report coming out of the website North Korea News, that means it's obviously government sanctioned and reporting, if we deployed our alleged stockpile in ideal conditions, a 1,000 kilogram sarin attack could kill as many as 125,000 in South Korea. The joint report citing an ROK 2018 defense white paper the RAND Corporation had as the North Koreans possessing that much chemical warfare agents. ROK stands for the Republic of Korea, which is Seoul's official name for South Korea. But the White Paper report stated that North Korea began producing these chemical weapons in the 80s and currently holds that much. And they have many other sources, apparently, have cited similar numbers, including our own Pentagon. We saw a lot of military conflicts involving poisonous gases and so forth during World War I. So the UN in 1997 established the Chemical Weapons Convention. That's a multilateral treaty that bans chemical weapons and requires their destruction within a specific period of time. Again, I repeat the date for you, 1997. And yet, according to these reports coming out now, that North Korea still has 2,500 to 5,000 tons of these weapons. It doesn't take much. Although North Korea officially claims, we don't have any of that, we don't have any. They're disputing the stats cited by the RAND Corporation and others. The RAND Corporation, I'll point out for you in case you're not sure of it, is a think tank partially funded by the U.S. government, founded in 1984 to provide additional resources and information and intel to our U.S. military. If I were to hazard and just place a bet, I might go, not does North Korea have such stockpiles, but maybe do the bet on over or under. Is it over 2,500? Is it under 5,000 tons? Or some other number in between? Coming up, my next guest is going to talk about this issue with China. And the way he phrased it yesterday, when he says maybe our military needs to move to DEFCON 2, you need to hear the explanation.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Now before I could walk, I had a guitar in my hand. By the time I could talk, I had my own band. I went on the road when I was 8 years old. When I turned 15, I was stealing the show. Money to burn and the girls are pretty. It didn't take me long to learn it. I was born to boogie.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My next guest, we've had numerous times. He's an expert on China. You can find him and follow him on the Twitter account. His Twitter account is at Gordon G. Chain. That's G-O-R-D-O-N, G, last name Chain, C-H-A-N-G. Gordon, welcome aboard again.
Thank you so much, Larry.
Let me pick up with a tweet you put out yesterday that caught my eye, my concern immediately, and it was a little bit late in the day to line up, get you on the air, but I'm going to read for the audience what you tweeted out at 6:36. Actually, this was the day before, August 30. Hug the ones you love and pray China does not start a war in the next few days. And by the way, this would be an excellent time for the U.S. military to move to DEFCON 2. We have 5 rates of DEFCON. That means our defense coordination readiness. Number one, we're already into a military possible nuclear action. And you're saying, currently we're standing at 3, and you're saying move it on up. What do you see in here? What do you see in here?
I see that Xi Jinping is, in general, in the biggest military buildup since the Second World War. More ominously, he is mobilizing a civilian society to go to war. And as we've seen in the last 3 days, he's trying to provoke a conflict with regard to Taiwan. They're sending over these drones into sovereign Taiwan airspace. They're lingering there. A few hours ago, Taiwan shot one of those drones down. In the next 24 hours, we're going to see what Xi Jinping is going to do. He could slink back, but he'd make himself look weak. I don't think he's going to do that, and that means we've got to be prepared. But if it's not this crisis over Taiwan, it's going to be something else, because we've got Chinese troops deep into Indian-controlled territory. We see Chinese vessels trying to split apart the Philippines and Japan, and these dangerous air intercepts, which challenge Australia and the United States. This is exceedingly dangerous, Larry.
So I want a clarification from you. Your tweet yesterday, I mean, obviously sounds ominous. Is it too alarming or serving notice?
I think that it's trying to wake up a Biden administration, which believes that we are at peace and can accommodate China. And I believe that China right now is looking for a war. Xi Jinping, if he didn't want, people can say, well, you know, Xi Jinping is just trying to intimidate us or whatever. And I can understand that. But the point is that he is doing things that in the past have brought countries to war. And so we've got to be prepared ourselves, because we know in general he is getting Chinese society ready to go into battle. And we cannot ignore what he's doing.
I do agree that the Taiwanese shooting down one of the drones that China had in the area, apparently over one of the islands they built, is obviously live fire aimed at the enemy. I'm like you, I had to question what's going to be the reaction. And so far, nothing. I haven't seen anything even verbally from them reference that. Have you?
What's happened is that earlier in the week, China was flying drones over these outlying islands. And when they were challenged, when Taiwan fired flares as warnings, the Chinese drones went back into the mainland. What occurred a few hours ago was different, that when challenged, a Chinese drone stayed over inside sovereign Taiwan airspace. And so Taiwan had no choice but to shoot it down.
Now, I'm glad you pointed that out. We're not talking about the international waters that we say exist between China and Taiwan. You're talking about they were actually inside Taiwanese airspace.
Sovereign Taiwan airspace. Larry, this year China has been challenging Taiwan in this way. So, for instance, on February 5, the second day of the Olympics, China actually overflew a Taiwan outlying island with a plane. This week, it's been drones, but it has been, again, a violation of territorial airspace. And Taiwan had to respond because China was stepping up the tempo. And it's good that Taiwan called China's bluff. But right now, we don't know what Beijing intends. Obviously, they gamed this out well in advance. But it's very unlikely that Beijing and Xi Jinping are just going to slink back and not do anything. So we've got to be concerned that there will be conflict.
So I want to go over again, when you say move to DEFCON 3, I want to make sure the audience understands that DEFCON is the developed by the Joint Chiefs of Staff and Unified Specified Combatant Commands, five levels. We are currently at three because of the conflict between Russia and Ukraine and leading the increased tension between Russia and NATO. Two would mean our alert system used by the military would graduate levels of readiness and alert from levels of least to most severe. We're not there, at least they have not called for that. Would we be notified? I mean, it's used when there's a major terrorist attack or an immediate danger of military action against the U.S. or allies. That would include Taiwan. How would that play out?
Yeah, we've been at three for a very long time. But China is preparing to go to war. They've got their troops deep into Indian-controlled territory. We know that Chinese vessels have been in sovereign Japanese waters in late July. They have been trying to block the resupply of Second Thomas Shoal of the Philippines within the last month and a half. So China has been engaged in these extremely belligerent activities. On May 26th, they fired flares and chaff at an Australian P-8 reconnaissance plane in international airspace. There was, very fortunate that the crew was able to get their plane back because some of that chaff was ingested into one of the plane's two engines.
Mm.
This is the first time in history that any nation has done that. And so we're talking about a very provocative regime right now that wants to go to war. And we need to signal to Beijing in a very tangible way that we will protect ourselves and we'll protect our friends and allies. And the administration right now is not willing to do that. So
I don't hear anything. I don't hear anything from the administration. I mean, zip.
Yeah, this is an administration that is not protecting the American people. So, for instance, we know that Beijing is behind the fentanyl gangs, which kill 100,000
right.
Americans each year. And the administration will not protect us. They won't stop the fentanyl coming across the border. They won't talk about China in connection with fentanyl. They won't talk to China about the origins of COVID-19. And that's 1,044,000 Americans that have been killed. This is a government that is not protecting the United States of America. So I believe that someone's got to defend us. And one way for the military to do that is to move to DEFCON 2.
All right. We obviously will wait and see what happens on the next level at that point. Since you brought up COVID and coming out of, obviously, China, which we all now accept and understand, we were lied to by the WHO Health Department and China at the time. But the word is coming out now that one of China's biggest cities is locked down 21 million residents because they continue to battle COVID outbreaks.
Yes. China has a zero COVID policy, which means a policy to try to prevent any transmission of the disease. And this means draconian lockdowns. And so
and we're talking about lockdown. We're talking about sealing their doors, welding them shut. They're not allowed to go out except at specific times and only one member of the family for brief periods, correct? If that.
Yeah. They were welding doors in Wuhan in the beginning of the epidemic. They haven't been doing that recently, but when they talk about a lockdown, they prevent people from leaving their apartments, except for maybe once a day to go get testing for the disease. Maybe one member of the family is allowed to go out and get food once a week. I mean, these are very strict measures, I think that they're...
I'm sorry.
Excuse me?
I was getting ready to say, I saw a video that circulated the other day that corporation looked like a large corporation was saying it's going to be locking down because of COVID, and people were running for the doors to get out of the building before the building was locked and they couldn't get out.
Yes, there was there's that video of people leaving an IKEA store, and there's been a number of videos like that where the rumor is suddenly, people hear a rumor that one person has tested positive. So everyone wants to get out because otherwise they will be locked down, perhaps indefinitely. And this has really paralyzed Chinese society. And that's one of the reasons why the Chinese economy right now is in reality contracting. And there are other reasons, of course. They've got a debt crisis, bank runs,
sure.
and all the rest of it. But the COVID-19 lockdowns have contributed to a very grim outlook for the Chinese economy.
Gordon, as always, I appreciate your time. Thanks for updating us on China as it's possibly getting ready to strike with more military action. Gordon G. Chang, you can find him on Twitter. Thank you again, Gordon.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate it.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, "Yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador." Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles, and tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you. We'll be right back.
lightning, shining just like gold. Why don't you hear me cry? Ooh, ooh, ooh.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, for Democrats, they say this is a victory, this is a victory, this is a sign there will not be a red wave tsunami. Are they right? Are they premature? They're referring to what happened in Alaska. In Alaska, Sarah Palin, who had been governor of Alaska, and then, of course, also stepped in to be a vice presidential candidate, was in a battle to take over the seat, the Republican seat, left with by the death of Congressman Don Young, a Republican. And Alaska has been voting really for a couple of weeks, and or rather they have been tallying the votes for the last couple of weeks after the election was held. And the final numbers came in that the Democrat candidate, Mary Potala, beat the former governor, Sarah Palin. Young had died back in March at age 88. He'd held the seat since 73. Palata's three-point win is certainly going to be considered a shot in the arm for Democrats, because they don't want to lose their House majority, and every seat counts. But, and this is critical, this is just to fill the remaining term of Congressman Don Young, which means there's going to be another election in November to who goes to the House on behalf of Alaska coming up in November. So it's a special election, so Potala, the Democrat, is going to be able to be congresswoman from Alaska for a few weeks, maybe longer. But here's the issue that's underway. The Alaskan primary, like I say, was held earlier this month, but took until yesterday to tabulate all the mail-in ballots. Yeah, I know. You're thinking, whoa, took that long? What's going on? And also, they have their new ranked voting system. You're going to hear more about this beginning to surface at different places, especially if Democrats have an opportunity, because by ranking, they think they can get an upper hand. The other Republican came in third in the election, so voters had put him as either their first choice or had written in another candidate. They had their ballots reallocated to the candidate who was their second choice. Palin pointed out that she wasn't happy, but, you know, that's the way it went down. Someone who's more upset with it is Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas, Republican, and he points it out in this fashion in a tweet he put out. 60% of Alaska voters voted for a Republican, either Palin or the other Republican that was in the running at the time that I just told you about. But Nick Begich came in third, so those who had put him as their first choice or had written in someone else, meant all of their ballots then went to the candidate who was their second choice. But again, Senator Cotton says 60% of Alaska voters voted for a Republican. But thanks to a convoluted process and ballot exhaustion, which disenfranchises voters, a Democrat won. Now, again, this is the first time Alaska has used this ranked choice voting system after adopting it in 2020. The way it works is voters pick their member of Congress by ranking the candidates, as I said. And they can put in a write-in candidate if they chose. Who put in Larry Connors? Did anybody in Alaska put in Larry Connors? I know we've got listeners up there. Yeah, I appreciate it. I actually don't know if anybody wrote me in. I just thought I'd bring it up, just in case. But if no candidate receives a majority of the vote on the first round, the candidate with the lowest number of votes is eliminated, and the supporters for that candidate, their second-choice votes go to the remaining candidates. And everything continued like that until you're down to two. So as early this morning, with 93% of the votes counted in the ranked choice, Pallotta defeats Palin 51.5% to 48.5%, about a four-point margin. Palin said, "It's a mistake. This ranked thing was sold as a way to make elections better reflect the will of the people." But she said, "Now Alaska and the rest of America will see the opposite is true." And it also adds more confusion if it takes that long to figure out all the votes and the mail-in ballots weeks after it took place. I'm not saying there was any fraud, but anytime you have confusion, or as Senator Cotton said, voter exhaustion, there's an opportunity for it. Coming up in the next hour, is Trump guilty of anything? Is he guilty of everything? Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.